I questioned it, went home, did a little research, went back to the next meeting. I kind of called upon on some things that weren't true.
Right.
Said, look, I get it. We don't, none of us like this, but we need to use facts. We can't emotional and have an agenda. Let's speak just with facts and truth. And I got run out like I was a Nexus spy. And
right.
It was crazy. But that's what started CORN, Coalition right. Around Nexus. I'm a co-founder of that. I did not want this. I didn't ask for this, but somebody had to stand up, and I just felt it was my time to stand up. So that's what I did for 4 years.
Wow.
We fought this thing. We learned the FERC process. We learned how to use the process, even though it's co-opted and
right.
predetermined outcome, really.
Sure.
But we used it better than anybody ever did. We had a lot of legal people watching us over the years, and they said, you guys played it. It's good.
Who was telling you that?
Attorneys that we've talked to along the way. The legal guys were watching because we exposed the hypocrisy that FERC was.
Right.
That the system is co-opted. It's predetermined.
Yeah.
No matter how you play, they mitigate any complaint or any concern you have is just mitigated in their write-ups. Right. It's just a joke.
Right.
So, I don't know, through the fight, we were able to get case law on the books in Medina to fight the survey without a certificate,
right.
Which is what Nexus tried to do using Ohio's loosely worded, sloppy laws.
Right.
They tried to co-opt the fact that they could survey before they have a certificate. We argued that court successfully. Actually held them off up until last fall.
Wow.
That's the first time they ever entered my property.
Right.
Against the sheriffs, everybody. It was crazy.
Right.
It got really heated for a while.
So Robert was talking about like restraining orders.
Oh, yeah. We got sued. I can't tell you how many times.
They were trying to get restraining orders on him, right?
All of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sued 110 people at one point in Medina.
So the restraining order is... They want to come on your land, and they want to have a restraining order on the landowner.
Yes.
So that when they're on that landowner's property, the landowner cannot come near them.
Right. To protect them.
How does that? That's insane, right?
It is. It is. I mean, it's.
And when that goes to court, what does the judge say? Or
well, the judge, fortunately in Medina, the judge was like, "Well, first of all, here you are, Nexus, bullying my community
because
he saw what was going on, and so he kind of." Had empathy for us, even though legally he was struggling with how to defend us, but we finally prevailed. Like I said, it was like over a year and a half of court wrangling. We finally explained it in a way that he understood the argument and ran it held in our favor.
Right.
But the essence of it is basically Nexus wants access to your property. Their arrogance and their just the way they used to doing business. And unfortunately, a lot of the southern communities, they're all major pro-oil and gas.
Oh, yeah.
Legal system. So they filed for a restraining order, rubber stamp, you get it.
Right.
Homeowners just clueless.
Right.
You're talking to the Adkins.
Yeah.
I went to them. Scott was getting deployed.
Right.
Here's a guy surveying.
I know, I heard that.
And the surveyors came like the week before he was to leave. I went over there to heartbreaking to watch them violate. It's just like, it's like you're being raped.
Yeah,
it really is. And it was such a sense of violation,
right?
So wrong. But fortunately Medina, we were able to hold them off.
Good.
Didn't accomplish anything, I guess, other than we got case loss for the next guy. Is right. Gonna have to wait till he gets the permit before he can do it. But
so I was hearing from this guy Norm First down in Green. He lives Jaroski. Paul mentioned a name of a guy. Anyway, he lives right on the corner of right there in Green, where there's this, like, this massive clear cutting for the pipeline.
Yeah.
And he was mentioning that when they come to your house, that they're bringing county sheriffs with them.
Yeah, I got a video of the confrontation here.
Oh, is that the video? I saw that video. Were you come out into the field?
Yeah, that's it.
That's you?
That's me, baby. So we knew they were coming because we're all united, right? So we would get phone calls, hey, they're coming, they're coming. We know they're coming this day. So
they're invading.
I had parked my truck across the driveway, catty corner, so they couldn't come down my driveway.
Right.
I forced them to have entry over here,
right,
off this easement. So
right.
my son says, "Hey, they're coming."
Right.
And that's when I ran out here with the cameras, the GoPro, everything.
Yeah.
And I, because I knew the law, though, I knew that Medina County, they did not, I could tell them to go away and they have to honor that.
Right.
And you saw how the officers.
I actually didn't look at the, I didn't hear the audio because I just clicked on it while I was at work.
What are the officers?
Okay.
It's pretty intense. I mean, the officers, you could see them flank me like I was going to.
I saw that.
First of all, my question is, and why has nobody yet has asked this, or asked and answered this question? Those were rented officers.
Right.
In full uniform.
Right.
Using taxpayers-funded police vehicles for a private company. How does that happen? And they wonder why there's tension between the citizens and those that are to protect and to serve the community.
Right.
They're allowing them to be used by basically tyrants against the community.
Right.
How is that good, number one? Number two, I don't think that was legal use of taxpayers' assets.
Right.
Nobody's asked the question.
Right. What does the county sheriff, what does he say? Or like,
he told them, he allowed them to be rented like that, but he told them in Medina, and only if you knew to say this, that if I ask you to leave, you have to leave. Right. So many people see that show of force, and they freak because they think I'm going to go to jail.
Right. You got to lean into it.
Yeah. And then they would just escort them on. I mean, they were carrying guns and... Other areas had other non-officers carrying guns, too. Security personnel. I mean, it's like, talk about tension.
Who was the security firm?
They had some, depending on the county you're in, there were other people that were being used, other off-duty officers from other areas. I know the city of Green banned one. They said, if you step foot in our city again,
security
you'll be
firm.
Arrested.
Security firm?
A retired officer. Or an off-duty officer, yeah, City of Green.
Why did they ban him?
Because he was threatening the citizens.
Oh, my gosh.
You got to let us on. You know, standing there like this. And so the mayor, they went after him, and they told him, you step foot in this city, you're getting arrested.
So that brings up a thing that I've been paying pretty close attention to, and it's starting to percolate up, is you've heard about the storage hub, the Appalachian storage hub?
Mm-hmm.
So the federal government secured, like, $100 billion in capital from Chinese state-backed corporations in China, as well as a couple of companies in Thailand that clearly, I mean, I bet if we dig deep, we're going to find China has some money in those firms too. And now you read The Economist just put out something called the Geopolitics of Energy. The Economist does these special sections every couple months. And I'll send it to you. I pulled out the excerpts every time China and LNG and U.S. LNG is mentioned. I mean, it's replete with that. And so China's investing in the storage hub. They have an insatiable appetite for energy.
Which is where the Nexus gas is going to Canada to be liquefied and shipped.
Right. So they're getting all their soybean and all that stuff from Iowa.
But they're going to slap a tariff on it.
Right.
How well is that going to work out?
It's not going to work out. And then if you look at China, they also just invested heavily in a company called Frontier Services, which is a company run by a guy named Eric Prince, who you might not know that name, but he started a company called Blackwater, which is a private security firm in Iraq that just screwed up all over the place. Uh-huh. And he liquidated it, and then he re-upped he's publicly traded on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, just Frontier Services. They're 70% in on his firm. And so if you think about it, what you just said about the private security firms, I hadn't heard that yet, but
Dapple, the same thing happened out there.
Exactly. And there's no reason to think that is not going to be. I mean, that's what strikes me is like, you're good until you're not good in their eyes. And then we are going to run you over.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I mean, it's surreal because you couldn't believe I'm really in the middle of something like this.
Right.
You explain this story to anyone that's out on the outside, hadn't heard about it, they're like, I don't believe what you're telling me. I don't believe that could happen in America. And it's like, wake up.
Yeah.
I mean, today it's the few hundred of us that are physically being violated, but...
Just today.
It's everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
You all better be... We don't own property anymore.
Right.
I'm convinced we should rent, just have an apartment, don't worry about it, because it's a waste.
Well,
you have no rights anymore. If your property is not sacred, then everything else falls after it.
So I think this is interesting. I don't know what the politics is or